We're starting a new series, and it's called Locking and Unlocking the Tongue. Does my image get the message across? Somebody said, that's the nastiest thing I've ever seen. Well, it's not. It's kind of nasty, you know, when you unlock your tongue and you cuss somebody out. It's kind of nasty, you know, when you talk about people, right? So I'm trying to relay to you the thought here. There are times when our tongue needs to be locked. Our tongue needs to be unlocked. Somebody says, well, now you know you're encouraging the kids to pierce their tongue. If you pierce your tongue with a lock like that, you won't hear anything come out of my mouth. I'll tell you what. That'll be one of the best things. Well, let's get started. We handed out a questionnaire several weeks ago, and the questionnaire was basically asking you what you would like for me to share about. And on this questionnaire, we had several things listed, and then we had a blank space asking you to fill it in if you had another thought. Well, it was amazing to me that nearly 50% of all the questionnaires that we got back was asking and requesting that I teach on controlling the tongue. So I'm on it, okay? Here we go. I think that's wonderful. So let me start off with this particular scripture. It's in Psalms 141 and verse 3, and it says, set a guard. Would you say guard? Set a guard over my mouth. Oh, Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Now, what the Bible is telling us there is that we need to ask God to help us with our mouths. That's what it's saying. Lord, set a guard over my mouth. The image that it's wanting us to see here is a prison guard. Now, what does a prison guard do? A prison guard has a key, right? Opens the cell and closes the cell and opens and locks and unlocks. And so what it's saying here is, Lord, lock and unlock my tongue. Help me to do this right. Help me have a guard. Help me to know when I need to lock it. Help me to know when I need to unlock it. And if there's anything we need to lock and unlock correctly, it's our tongue. Now, somebody ought to say something right there, right? Come on. Do we not need to? Yes, we do. We need to know when to lock and we need to unlock our tongue. Because why? Because the power of life and death is where? It's in your tongue. Now, it's more powerful than your arm or your leg or your brain. Your tongue is the most powerful member that you've got. And what that scripture was really trying to say there is that inside this cell, inside this prison cell, is this little 4-inch member that will make or break you. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. It says, death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What's that saying? It says that your life is a produce, a product of your tongue. It's the fruit of your tongue. Some of your greatest victories and your worst nightmares are connected with your tongue. Now, you stop and think about that just a second. Some of your greatest victories and worst nightmares are connected with this most powerful member in your whole body. It will take you up or it'll take you down. Moses was going along one day, and Moses saw a bush that was burning. And here's what Moses said. Moses said, I am going to turn aside and go see this great sight. Your tongue directs your life. Your tongue will take you to the miracles that God has waiting for you, or your tongue will keep you going another way. Your tongue directs your life. It directs where you go. Moses got to that bush, and that bush was burning. And the bush began to speak to Moses. The angel of the Lord was in there, and the Lord began to speak to Moses. And it says, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people, and I'm coming down, and I'm going to deliver them. And I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. I want to use your tongue, Moses, to speak to principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he said, Moses, I want you to go to the people. And I want you to tell the people that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And he has sent me to you to deliver you. He's the God of blessings. He's the God of promise. And he wants me to come and he wants me to deliver you. He wants me to come to you so that you can be delivered. He wants me to bless your life. Moses, I want you to use your tongue to bless my people. And then he said to Moses, he says, and Moses, I want you to tell the elders that I'm going to communicate with you and that I want you to use your tongue to communicate back to them. So use your tongue, Moses, to communicate to me and to communicate with people. So in those three things, I see what God's given us the tongue to do. The tongue is given to us to speak to principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. God's given us the tongue to bless people. And God's given us the tongue to communicate with the Lord. But what did Moses do with his tongue? He began to make excuses with it. Moses began to, instead of use the tongue as God had described for it to be used, he began to take his tongue and make excuses. Anybody done that? Mm-hmm. He began to say, who am I? I'm nobody. See, your tongue determines what kind of person and what kind of confidence you have. I can talk to you in just a few minutes and figure out if you're a confident person or if you're a person that has no confidence. Because why? Your confidence comes out your tongue. Your confidence comes out your words. Your tongue determines your confidence of life. Then Moses made another excuse. Next excuse Moses said is, well, who are you? You know, he says, who am I? And then he says, who are you? In other words, who will I say sent me? I can talk to somebody for just a short period of time, and I can know if they know who the Lord is. Now, a lot of believers today are believers, but they really don't know who the Lord is. I can talk to you for a short period of time and find your faith level. I can know exactly where you are. How? By your words. You need to be able to communicate the things of the Lord. I can tell who you are or if you know God or not by your words. And then Moses gave a third excuse, another excuse Moses gave. Moses said this, they won't believe me. They won't believe me. Why won't they believe you, Moses? Because things come out of your mouth, off your tongue, that weren't true. If you're not a believable person, why? Because words have been spoken that were not true. If I'm not believable, it's because of words I've said. Your words, your tongue determines your life. It determines your confidence. It determines your knowledge of God. It determines what kind of a person you are is speaking truth. But then the Lord was pretty easy. You know, he's pretty patient with Moses up until this point. And then he hits this one. Moses gives him his fourth and final, I might add, excuse. He says this. Let me read it to you. It's in the book of Exodus, just so you'll have the reference. And if you have your Bibles, I really want you to look at this. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, it says this, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. What he's saying here is that my tongue is locked. My speech is locked. I am not a good person to speak. I am not a good speaker. I'm not a good communicator. Now, let me make a point. Take that off the screen for just a second. Let me make a point while I'm on it so I'll make sure I won't forget it. But you see, whether that's true or not, now Moses had a lot of education. Moses should have been a very good communicator. But whether he was or whether he wasn't is not my point here. My point is this, is if you will give God your tongue, no matter how well you can speak, he will take your tongue and make it do miracles. That's right. He says, I'll teach you. And I'm going to read that to you in just a second. But no matter whether he was or whether he wasn't, you know, I hear people say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, let God teach you. I don't know how to speak to principalities and powers. Well, let God teach you. I don't know how to pray for people and bless people. Well, let God teach you. You see, whether he was or whether he wasn't, it doesn't matter. The point is that God wants your tongue. And he wants your tongue to do the same thing that Moses' tongue did. He wants to take it and set people free and work miracles and communicate with God. Let me read on now. He says there, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. Now, you got to get this part. If you don't get anything else that I'll say all day long, get this part. I will be with thy mouth. You need to say that back to me. I will be with thy mouth. What part would he be with? What part of Moses was he going to be with? Moses' hands, Moses' rod, Moses' what? Moses' mouth. The rod was no good without the mouth. God is with your mouth. The power of life and death is in the tongue. God wants your mouth. He says, I will be with your mouth. And he goes on to say, I will teach you what to say. Listen, if you don't get anything else, really realize that God wants your mouth. You can bless people. You can bring down principalities and powers. And you can work miracles with your mouth. Powerful, powerful. Now, Moses said, I'm not a good communicator. I'm not good at this stuff. Well, he had to let God teach him. He gave his tongue to the Lord. He gave his mouth to the Lord. And the Lord took that mouth that maybe wasn't a good communicator, and this particular personality is not a good communicator, but he took this particular personality and made him powerful. You see, what the Lord wants to really do is teach us how to speak. He wants to teach us how to use our mouths, how to use our tongues. He says, let me teach you, Moses. Now, it was interesting to me as I looked at this and all the excuses that Moses gave, it was interesting to me that he was patient with Moses until this one. Until this fourth particular excuse that Moses gave, and then the Lord got hot. Let me show you this. It's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. It says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Listen, God's going to get somebody to say it. And no Aaron is going to get my blessing. Ain't no Aaron going to walk around bringing down principalities and powers and spiritual darkness over their lives and over their families and over their churches and over their regions and me not do it. Ain't no Aaron going to open up impassable objects like the Red Sea and he get to go through things and I don't get to go through it. Ain't no Aaron going to get my blessing. God's going to get somebody to say it. And what I'm wanting you to communicate to you today is that, listen, God wants your tongue. And if you will give him your tongue, there is nothing that can stop you. There is nothing that can defeat you. God wants to teach us what to say and how to say it. Jesus said it this way, and put that scripture up there for me in John. He says, you know what? He says, I don't talk about myself. He says, but what I talk about, and I want you to get this part, what I talk about is the Lord, my Father. He says, he's given me commandment, now watch this, of what to say and what to speak. Of what to say and what to speak. Now right now I'm kind of speaking, okay? I'm making a speech, if you will. But there's sometimes I'm just hanging out with you and I'm saying. Just talking, just communicating. Now, what the Lord Jesus is here saying is whether I'm in public places or whether I'm in alone places, the Lord's commanded me what to say. The Lord has control of my communication. And when I talk with people privately or when I talk with people in public situations, the Lord teaches me what to say. Let me ask you this. What did the Lord Jesus use his tongue to do? Kind of the same three things that Moses used his tongue to do. Number one, speak to principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Did he? Moses spoke to Pharaoh. Jesus spoke to a religious system. They both came down. That's what he wants you to do with your tongue. Another thing that Jesus did with his tongue was bless people. He would cast out devils from people. He would heal people or he would teach people. But he used his tongue to bless people. God wants to use your tongue to do the same thing, to bless people. And the third thing that he used to use his tongue for was to communicate with the Father, right? See, this is what God wants us to use our tongues to do. He wants to teach us, command us, give us commandment, give us instructions as to what to say. Now, Isaiah said it this way, and put that one up there for me. Isaiah said it this way. Isaiah said, he's given me the tongue of the learned. The tongue of the learned. Morning by morning, he teaches me what to say. Listen, God wants to communicate with you every day so that every day you will know what to say. When is the last time you allowed the Father to give you instructions as to what to say about something? I don't know how many times this has happened. I'll be saying or talking with someone and they'll pose a question to me and ask me what I think about it, what my thought is on this. And you know, and I'll probably know what, I may even say it this way, well, here's what I think. But let me pray about that and get back to you. And so many times what the Lord speaks to me to say about this particular situation had not even crossed my mind. And sometimes, I amaze myself sometimes of the wisdom that comes out of me. Simply because I went to the Lord and asked him what to say. God wants to teach us how to speak. And now I want to ask you a question. I hope you've got it by now. But what is the purpose of the human tongue? Not just a tongue. Cats have tongues and dogs have tongues and birds have tongues and fish have tongues and, you know, and snakes have tongues and reptiles and insects and all everything has tongues. But what is the purpose, the unique purpose for the human tongue? Why did God give us such a special tongue? I hope you got it by now. You see, when you read the scriptures, you find out that the tongue is used for a lot of different things. David says, "Thy praise shall continually be on my mouth. I will continue always to exalt you, O Lord." See, your tongue is created to praise God. Another thing your tongue is created to do is to pray. Right? Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven." See, when you pray, say it. Praying is more than thinking. When you pray, say. Your tongue is created to communicate, to pray to Father. Another thing that the tongue is created to do is to edify, exhort, and comfort. And the Bible teaches us about tongues, interpretations of tongues, and prophecy. And what it all surmises to is use the tongue to edify, exhort, and comfort people. But here is one that I don't find us and most believers really seeing and doing. The tongue is created to be a weapon. Not to slice up one another, but to slice up the enemy. Let me show you this. This one is in Isaiah chapter 40 and 49 and verse 2. It says this, "He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadows of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver." He wants to use our tongues like a polished arrow, like a weapon for war that he can take out when he wants to and release that arrow in the due season. God has created the tongue to be a weapon. So when you slice it and dice it and you condense it all down, you'll come up with three reasons that God created the human tongue, gave us a special tongue, gave us a tongue unlike any other creature that he's created. The tongue is for these three things, and put them up there for me, please. Tongue is for number one, to speak to demonic forces, to principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Is to come against the things of the devil, over your life, over your family, over your children, over your workplace. You need to learn to speak to those things with your tongue and bring them down. Number two, he's given us the tongue to bless people, to edify, exhort, and comfort people. And number three, he's given us the tongue to communicate with the Father, to communicate with the Lord. And those three things, if you will stay in that dimension with your tongue, if you will loose your tongue, take it out, only let it come out of the quiver to do those things, let that guard only loose your tongue to do those specific things, you will never face defeat. You know what Moses did. Moses went back down to Egypt with his tongue. He went back down to Egypt and he told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Ended up, he defeated Pharaoh, the whole army fell, the whole Pharaoh system was collapsed. He spoke to principalities and powers. Every god over that whole region came down. Come on, somebody talk to me here a little bit. Help me preach this thing. Am I right? Every single god, every single demonic force over that whole area came down because of Moses and his tongue. He blessed people. They came out of there wealthy with silver and gold. They had the favor of God on them because of Moses' tongue. They went out of there taking money from all the Egyptians. They come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea looked like an impassable object. But what did Moses do? He spoke to it. "Stand still and see the salvation of my God." And the thing opens up. And the thing that opens up for you and gives you access to wherever you're going will also collapse on your enemy and destroy them. They get over there. There's no provisions. But Moses spoke. And manna miraculously began to appear. When you speak correctly and you use your tongue the way it's designed to be used, all of a sudden provisions come to you from nowhere. I mean, all of a sudden, miraculously, just things are just laying around for you to pick up. Water comes out of a rock. What do you need from God? You got to learn to use the tongue for the proper reasons. Number one, you use it to speak to principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places. Number two, you use that tongue to bless people. And number three, you use that tongue to communicate with God. And if you will do that, any person that can use their tongue correctly in due season at the right time can never experience defeat. No matter if it's your home and your family or your children, whether you're parenting, if you speak right to those children, they're going to be good kids. Children, reverse that around. You speak right to your parents, you're going to have a good life. You're going to have a blessed life. You can have anything you want. It works at the workplace. You can go right up the ladder if you learn how to say the right things. No matter what you're doing, whether it's business or life or marriage or finances or whatever that you're doing, when you learn to use that tongue correctly, nothing can stop you. You're a successful person. But there's also times that we have to learn to lock the tongue. There's times when we have to learn to lock our tongue. Let me take a drink of water on this one. One day Jesus was ministering. See, we need to learn that that guard have control of our tongue so he can lock it and unlock it at the proper time. One day Jesus was ministering, and they brought a guy to him, and the guy had a devil. And the devil had made him blind, and he couldn't speak. They call it dumb. He was blind and dumb. And Jesus cast the devil out of him. The Pharisees saw this, and the Pharisees said, "He's doing this by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus, at that time, gave one of the greatest teachings on the tongue that's in the Scriptures. And I want you to be aware of it. I want you to give you the reference for it. But I want to read it to you right now. Here's what Jesus said. "O generation of vipers." Now, let me talk there. Just leave that up there just a second. Isn't that an interesting analogy? "O generation of vipers." Snakes. Poisonous snakes. How does a viper hurt you? How does a snake hurt you? Right? They inject their poison into you. Well, Jesus isn't talking here about literal poison being injected into you. But what he is talking about, words going into you. "O generation of vipers," look at this. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I say to you," whenever he says that, tune up your ears. "But I say to you," here's a thought for you, "that every idle word," say back to me, "every idle word." Every idle word. Now, don't miss this. Say it again. "Every idle word that men or women speak," say, what happens? "They shall give account." Say, "give account." "Give account thereof on the day of judgment." Now, take the screen down just for a second. Let me work here just a second and give you what this means. Every idle word you've got to give account for on the day of judgment. Your day of judgment comes and you stand before Christ. He asks you, "Give account to me." The day that you were in your car riding down the road and you began to talk about this person. "Tell me why you did that." "Well, it was true." The Lord says, "That doesn't matter. You should pray for them. You should pray, not talk about them." "Well, they hurt me." "Well, then you should forgive them." I've already forgiven them. How many times do I have to forgive them? 490. 7 times 70. You with me? Endlessly. Don't talk about them. And the Lord will say, "Give me an account. Tell me why you did it." You're just having a casual conversation, just a little idle talk, you know. Doesn't mean anything, right? The Lord says to you, "I love that person. I died for that person. What gave you the right to talk about that person that I died for?" I'm here to tell you today, if you don't learn to lock the tongue at the right time, you will be judged for it. It's interesting to me in this context of this casting out the devil and the Beelzebub thing and that things from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks and you will be judged for every idle word. And then let me finish reading the verse to you here. Put that verse back up there for me. He says that by your words you are what? Justified. You do right. Or by your words you are condemned. It's in this context of this whole passage here of that verse that Jesus begins to tell us the one sin that you cannot be forgiven. We call it the unpardonable sin. Let me read it to you. It's in Matthew chapter 12, same chapter, Verse 32, and it says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. Now, my goal here is not to teach you today about the unpardonable sin. My goal is to make sure that we understand that the worst sin you can do is with your tongue. The first sin ever committed was with the tongue. She said to the serpent. You need to learn the tongue has the power of life and death. And what I don't think is that anybody here is guilty and going to be judged for the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But I do think that every person here is going to be judged for using idle words and talking about people in a casual conversation. We're all going to have to give account for that. My goal today is to try to help us learn. Listen, Lord, set a guard on my mouth. Lord, let me shut my mouth when I start talking about things I shouldn't be talking about, and loose my mouth when my mouth needs to be opened. Lord, set a guard on my mouth. There's times when we got to learn the proper times to open and let the tongue out, and the proper times to lock it and keep the tongue in. Joshua was receiving instructions as to how to take the promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And he had communicated with the Lord with his tongue, and the Lord had given him curious instructions. The Lord had, and you know the story, let me give you the reference, and then we'll go from there. It's in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 10. It says here, but Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until, would you say until? Until, and what he's saying here is until I unlock it, until then you keep it locked. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. Now you know the story. One time every day for 6 days they were to march around Jericho with their mouths shut, with their tongues locked. Now, what was happening here? Now, think about this. As they were walking around this city, they weren't talking. They were totally focused on this great walled city. And they were looking at this thing, and they were analyzing it. They were processing this thing about what they were finding weak places in the walls. They were studying it. They were looking at it as they walked around it. They would survey it. And so they had it all kind of figured out as to what they were doing. But another thing they were doing is they were causing great confusion for the enemy. Have you ever been in conflict with somebody, you know, and words are being exchanged, and all of a sudden you just stop talking, but the other person just keeps spewing all this stuff out. All these words are coming out. They're telling you what they're going to do to you and how they're going to do it. And they're just running off at the mouth, you know, and they're just running all this. And you won't say anything. And what do they finally do? They finally say something, right? Well, you've got all their information. You know exactly how they're going to attack you. You know what lawyer they're going to use. You know everything about them. You know what all they're going to do. But they don't know what you're going to do. And this is what was happening. And they knew exactly how they were going to approach that city. Every single one of them knew where they were going to run, where they were going to hit, what they were going to do. Every single one of them, but the enemy didn't know a thing they were going to do. Then finally, Joshua says, shout! And they shouted, and what happened? Tell me what happened. The walls fell down flat. Why? Because they understood locking and unlocking the tongue. When you will unlock the tongue at the correct times, nothing can stop you. No wall will stand. You see, you got to let God instruct you and put a guard on that mouth and use that tongue correctly. Because if you will, any wall will fall. Any wall will fall to you. We were going through a situation here at our church several years back. And we didn't know how to handle it. It was kind of new to all of us. It was a strange situation, very strange. And so we prayed, and we says, Lord, well, how do we handle this situation? You know what he told us to do? Don't say a thing. Keep your mouth shut. And we did. Now, that's not my nature. I like to talk, number one. I like to, you know, I'm an aggressive type of a person. And so it was difficult for me. But as long as we kept our mouths shut, do you know we watched wall after wall after wall after wall come down. I'm trying to tell you today, when we learn how to use our tongues correctly, walls fall. Nothing can stop you from taking your promised land. Nothing's going to stop you from taking your Jerichos and your AIs and taking the land that God's given you for milk and honey. But you got to learn how to use your tongue. We each have access to the most powerful weapon on earth. It's the tongue. And a person who can properly handle their tongue will not be denied anything. Powerful forces will come down and crumble at your words. Red seas will open. Miraculous provisions will come. Things happen that could not happen any other way because you understand the power of the tongue. I'll give you one more illustration and then we're going to pray. Zechariah was a priest in the Old Covenant. As the Old Covenant was in the transition time just before Jesus. And he was going to be the father of John the Baptist. And an angel came. They'd been praying a long time for a baby, John and Elizabeth. And one day the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to Zechariah. And he says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. And Zechariah, you know what? God's going to grant you. He's going to give you a son. He's going to have the spirit of Elijah on him. And he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he's going to come forth and he's going to lead the people into great victory. He says that's what he's going to be doing. And you're going to name his name John. And Zechariah starts using his tongue incorrectly. He looses it when it should have been locked. And he says, how can this be? I'm an old man. Elizabeth is an old woman. This ain't going to happen. Do you know what the angel did? Let me read it to you. This is good. It's in Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. Here's what it says. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am great Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. In other words, buddy, I'm not getting this second-handed. This came straight out of the horse's mouth. You know, this is straight from God to you. Don't be messing around here. He says, I stand in the presence of the Lord, and I was sent to speak unto thee and to show thee the great tidings, the glad tidings. In other words, this is something you should be happy about, that you should be built up about, that you should be really using your tongue to build up, not to talk down about. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Let me stop there just a second. It's amazing to me that in the Scriptures, when the Bible uses the term dumb, it's always used with the improper use of the tongue. Let me make sure I say it right. It's always interesting to me that when the Bible uses the term dumb in the Scriptures, it gets connected with the inability or the misuse of the tongue. Zechariah is doing a dumb thing, right? Now, I'm going to build that in just a second. He says, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, that shall be fulfilled in their season. In other words, this is going to happen, and I'm not going to let your mouth stop it. You're not going to spew out all this negative stuff. You're not going to spew out all this doubt and put it in Elizabeth. You're not going to go home today and tell Elizabeth this can't happen. Just shut up right now. Dumb. Now here's my point. He was dumb until the next time he got to use his tongue. He was dumb for 9 months. But he learned. The next time he got to use his tongue, buddy, he used it for the three right reasons. Let me read it to you in Luke chapter 1 and verse 64. It says, immediately his mouth was what? Opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak praising God. He learned his lesson. And he began to speak good things. He says, my son is going to come forth and he's going to be an Elijah spirit. And my son is going to be before the Messiah who's going to come and defeat the enemies. My son, that's the first thing he says, he's going to bring down principalities and powers. My son is going to be a blessing because he's going to bring forth the Messiah who's going to be coming with all the promises of God. He's going to come and be a blessing to his people. My son, he says in number three, is going to be that kind of a thing. And then the third thing he says, and blessed be the God of my people. You see, he used his tongue for the right reason. Now listen, here's my thing I want you to get. He learned his lesson. He wasn't dumb the next time he got to use his tongue. But how many of us can say that? How many of us have been dumb and done some dumb things with our tongue, but we never learned our lesson? Do you know what? If you want to be dumb, God will just let you be dumb. Well, he did Zechariah, didn't he? If you're going to use your tongue wrong, you can just be dumb. Until you learn to use your tongue right. And when he wrote down, his name will be John, boom, his mouth opened up. His tongue was right. Let me tell you something, folks. How many of us have made some of the dumbest mistakes with our tongue, created such horrible situations in our lives, but we keep doing it. And we keep doing it. And we keep doing it. We keep talking about people. And we keep doing dumb things. We keep making the same mistakes with our tongue. We got to learn to put the guard at our mouth and ask God to help us. Would you stand to your feet? How about your tongue today? Does it have a guard on it? Your tongue holds the power of life and death. Your tongue. Your tongue is to be used, created to be used, to speak to principalities and powers. Your tongue is created to be used to bless people. Your tongue is created to minister and to love the Lord and to communicate with Him. That's your tongue. Your tongue was created to bring great wealth. Your tongue was created to open up dead seas. Your Red Seas. Your tongue is created to bring provisions for your life. Your tongue was created to bless your children and your wife and your husband and your workplace and this region and this church. Your tongue was created to bless people. Your tongue was created to bless God. Let God teach and use your tongue. Have the tongue of the learned. Let God use your tongue. Learn how to lock it, though at the same time, don't let your tongue bring you judgment. Don't let your tongue get you in trouble. Learn how to not be dumb with your tongue. God wants us to do great things in this region. He wants your life to be blessed. And one of the major things that you've done is misuse your tongue. I'm serious now. If you're serious about setting a guard over your mouth, if God's spoken to you about your tongue today, and you're serious now about asking the Lord to put a guard on your mouth, so that you won't let that rascal out at the wrong time. But you'll have the guard at your mouth so that you will let him out when he needs to come out. I need you to come down here right now and I want to pray over you. And I want this area full. I want people coming down. I want to pray a blessing over you so that God will put a guard on our tongue. How many is coming? How many really want this? Now don't come if you don't really want it. But if you want this, if you want this in your life, you want a tongue of miracles. A tongue of the learned. A tongue that God can use. I want you down here. Father, bless us. Would you lift your hands as you're coming? Just love Him. Lord, give us a tongue of the learned. Put a guard on my mouth, Lord God. Watch over my lips. Lord, I ask you, Lord, I have done it. We've all done it. We've used idle words. And Lord, for those things that we've already said, we will have to face and give account. But Lord, we want to stop now. And what every person down here is wanting to do is ask you to put a guard on our mouth. In other words, Lord, the next time that we want to let it out, and it shouldn't be, don't let him out. Keep it locked. But Lord, the next time that we're to give a witness for you, or to bless somebody, or we're to speak to principalities and powers, then, Father, you loose it and you teach us what to say. You teach us how to do this. And, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I bless each person here with this word. That, Lord, it will fall in the hearts of these people. It will fall in my heart and all of our hearts. That, Lord, our tongue will only be used for the purposes that it was created to do. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to bless us so that we can be successful people. That we can reach a region for Jesus Christ and for His kingdom. I ask you to bless us. Would you now just lift the Lord and do those three things for me? I want you just to lift your hands and just love the Lord. But what I want you to do right now, I want you to say, I want you to loose your tongue and come against things that are coming against you. I want you to use your tongue to come against principalities and powers. And if you can't think of something, then just pray for this church. You bind the things that come against this church. You reverse those curses upon those people that put them on us. And you just use your tongue to come against principalities and powers right now. Father, right now, I come against principalities and powers. I reverse curses. Those things that have spoken evil against us, Father God, and you said you could go back upon them. And Lord, I just release that right now. I bind the enemy in this region for stopping the kingdom of God. I bind it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I release upon this whole region the spirit of the living God, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless us. Oh, Lord, bless us. Now, Father, I want to use my tongue to bless people. Would you just bless somebody right now? Bless your wife or your children. Bless your employer or your employees. Or bless your grandchildren. Or bless somebody. Use your tongue for the purpose that it was created. Speak a blessing upon somebody. Father, I use my tongue right now to bless my family. I bless my wife. I bless my children. I bless my grandchildren. I bless my great-grandchildren, Father God, in Jesus' name. I speak a blessing upon these people. I speak a blessing upon this church. I speak a blessing. Father, I see industry coming into this region. I see this region being blessed of God. Father God, I speak it right now in Jesus' name. Now use your tongue just to communicate with the Lord. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Thank Him for this word today. Could have kept you from having a lot of trouble down the road. Father, I thank You. I love You. I praise You. Lord, I want to use my tongue for the right reasons. I don't want to be dumb. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're lost, away from the Lord, if you have never received Jesus Christ or you've gotten away from Him, you don't have a chance. No seal open to you. Every demonic force will attack you. You'll live a life of defeated, a defeated life. You'll go through life never having victory, never having being directed to turn the way of the Lord for your blessings. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to come into His kingdom. If that's you today, you got away from the Lord, or you never received the Lord, would you slip your hand up? Listen, let me pray with you. See your hand? Any others? Any others? See hands all over here. Praise God. I want everybody in here to pray this with me. Just everybody can pray this prayer, okay? Just everybody in here, just say these words after me. Words, power in your words. Loose your tongue to do this. Lord Jesus, I want to serve You. I want to serve You faithfully. Morning by morning, I want You to teach me what to say. I want You to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me by Your blood and use my tongue. I know You'll be with my tongue. Save me and use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. With the Lord a hand clap, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.